Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin, and it's another week. Therefore, it's another episode. And today's episode, I was thrilled to get to sit down with Jason Williamson of Sleaford Mods. Sleaford Mods are a band that I've loved for a long time now, and I've been a big fan of Jason as well. Jason's social media feeds during lockdown have kept me laughing non-stop, and we touch on this as well during the podcast. Before we get on with the podcast, just a few thank yous. Just a thanks to Rough Trade for sorting out this podcast, and thanks to 76 for producing it, and a big shout out to Scribius Pip and everybody over at the Distraction Pieces Network. Also, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then go and have a little rummage in the archives, because there's about 150 episodes out there, which there's some great chats with loads of your favourite musicians, producers, DJs, actors, comedians. Go and have a little look. And if that's not enough, I also do a Patreon episode each week, and so you can support the podcast over on Patreon should you wish to. You can find out about all of this stuff at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Right, let's get back to it. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Jason Williamson of Sleaford Mods. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So, go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu, with him.
Okay, we are recording, and sitting opposite me via the means of Zoom is Jason from Seaford Mods. Hello.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm good, thank you. I really appreciate your time today, Jason.
No worries.
And before we get on to talking tunes, I'm just interested in knowing, in this current lockdown, strange times that we find ourselves in, how you're finding it as both a human being and a family man and a creative.
I mean, initially it was a bit stressful, you know, personally as a human being, it was quite stressful. And then I got over that. And, you know, as a family person, again, stressful, but we're kind of over that now and we're just getting on with it, you know what I mean? As a musician, yeah, I wasn't that bothered about how it was going to make the music feel or how it would make my creative mind feel, you know what I mean? I just wasn't bothered. But now I'm starting to write a lot. It's been really good. I'm starting to play more guitar. I've picked up silly habits like drawing. I've started sketching the family and sitting there and becoming obsessed with that. You know, obsessing over yesterday's sketch in the morning with a cup of coffee, like Picasso would, I imagine. You know what I mean?
there's been a lot of baking going on as well, I can see.
As well, yeah. So, you know, just trying to. We've had to do an album campaign, run an album campaign from home, basically, which has been a bit weird. So we just started to try and think of content, because content's all you've got, you know what I mean? What that would look like. So we just started twatting about, really, and then the strongest bits of twatting about, we kind of like pulled them aside and worked on those, and Baking Daddy and that other Late Night with Jason thing with a kind of, the pinpoints, so we did those on a weekly basis, and you know, it worked out, it helped out, you know what I mean?
I mean, it went better than a while, yeah? You got a number one album?
Got number one, yeah, for like a week or whatever, which was brilliant, you know?
Incredible.
Well, I mean, it went in at number one on the Saturday, on the Friday it went in at number one, and then it stayed there for 5 days, which... We got the midweek and that was fantastic, you know. And then it went down to a respectable 10. I'm happy as long as it's top 10, you know what I mean? It's
like, of course.
It's brilliant, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I was really happy with that.
Wonderful. All right, well, look, I'm going to get the playlist started. And for track one, Jason, I'm going to ask you what you think is the song with the greatest ever intro.
It's got to be Survival of the Fittest by Mobb Deep. And, you know, it's not really, they're not really a band I listen to a lot, but whenever you hear that, it's just like, it goes beyond classic hip hop. It's just so good, you know, so tense. And it's really cool as well. And I know, you know, the subject matter ain't cool. obviously not, but, you know, it's just brilliant. And I think it's stuff like that is. For me, it's a real marker of what creativity should be about. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you can manage to inject that into anything you do, you've won. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How much emphasis do you put on intros in what you do with Seaford Mods? Is it something like, and has that changed over the years? I always sort of ask musicians this question. Just as music and the way that we listen to music's changed through sort of streaming and things like that.
Yes.
Is an intro something that you put a lot of emphasis on when the music's being put together?
No, not at all. It's the verse and the chorus. They're the emphasis. And so the intro, if the verse and chorus are strong, then, you know, the intro, you know, it needs looking at, but I'm not too fussy.
Yeah.
I spent a long, long time believing that it had to be fussy.
Yeah.
That, you know, I spent a long, long time believing that, although you've got to hone your craft, it's got to be something that you do in the shed with some tools and, you know, you have a dinner break. It's all a load of bollocks, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, you know, I think as long as the main bits are there of the song,
yeah,
the stuff around it, it's... doesn't necessarily have to be that significant, you know.
Okay. Track two. First song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
I think probably Heart of Glass, Blondie.
Really?
Yeah, I think because we were watching Top of the Pops by then. I think I was 9. And I think that really did. The video especially. You know, you kind of had a little bit of a crush on Debbie Harry, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it was, and also the lure of America. You know, as kids, we were told that America was the place of dreams, you know what I mean? And you know, basically, anything you watched on TV was American made. You know, it was the super country, wasn't it? And so, those things, you know, that video made a real powerful impression on me in the sense of my pop music awakening, so to speak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So what would you say that emotion was?
Just escapism and an obvious early indicator that I had a real passion for wanting to create melody and music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being really taken by aspects of the song about how Debbie Harry looked and moved in the song and in the video, you know what I mean? About the rest of the band, you know, and I'm not a big Blondie fan. I couldn't give a shit, to be honest. So it's like, but, you know, just little things spike out at you sometimes, you know what I mean?
Was there a lot of music on at home growing up?
Not really. Well, a little bit, but my old man was into... It was into like contemporary stuff at the time, Human League, Adam and the Ants. And these are all bands that are obviously very good. You know, time has been very kind to these people. But at the time, they were considered naff, you know. It was like, no, that's crap. You know, it either had to be the Jam or Motown or, you know, I was into the Sex Pistols as a kid as well, quite heavily. But they were also kind of, you know, people didn't really like them because they thought they were weird. You know, they weren't the working class champions that they are now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, they were considered quite weird and a bit posh where there was nothing posh about them at all. You know? So, it was, you know, if it wasn't the Jam or Motown or anything mod, you know, sort of ska, then, you know, forget it. You know what I mean?
Was you obsessive over music?
No, not really. I don't know. Yeah, I suppose I was, you know. You know, those bands that I've mentioned, you know, Specials, Madness, Dex's Midnight Runners, you know, these bands were, like, considered to be the creme de la creme.
Yeah.
I mean, in my school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You weren't touching anything else. And then slowly, you know, the New Romantics started to slip through. Spandau Ballet, that they were a big hit with the lads, you know what I mean? People started listening to stuff, Big Country, U2, you know, then the musical landscape started to change a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? I was a bit, I was really into the mob thing. I really did buy that.
So would that have been like the sort of, the second wave of it with the Jam and sort of Secret Affair and stuff like that?
Okay. I wasn't necessarily into any of the Secret Affair or the Jam spin-off bands.
Yeah.
Well, now they sound really good. You know, Merton Parker sound wicked.
Yeah.
I would imagine if I started listening to any more, they'd sound great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the time, no, it was just a Jam, really. And, you know, people would put The Who on and The Small Faces, but even that was a bit... I was just into the modern stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. And this was in Nottingham?
This was in Grantham.
Okay.
So this was about 1981, 82.
Okay.
That kind of stayed with me for forever, really. You know, it didn't go away, really.
Yeah. Track three, Jason. The song reminds you of your time at school.
Song reminds me of the time at school. And there were so many of them, weren't they? I don't know.
You can throw a few in, mate. You can have some honourable mentions.
Oh, God. I don't know. You Really Got Me by the Kinks. A Needle in a Haystack. What else? Jeez, tons of things.
So was this all stuff like finding, you know, obviously via the jam, like, and what was happening in kind of like the second wave of mob? Was that the sort of thing where you were then going back and looking at the Kinks and Motown and stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, you get like, you know, your mate's brother would give you a tape full of 60s stuff. And, you know, you'd all sit around a little tape recorder on a building site and listen to it. And it literally was like that. In my area, there were loads of housing estates being built, new ones that were considered quite modern, posh, but they weren't. They're horrible, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember we always should go to the building site at night and listen to old tapes that had, you know, stuff like, the, you know, the Motown stuff on that I mentioned, the Kinks, The Who, My Generation, you know, stuff like that. And also the Quadrophenia soundtrack as well was a massive, quite a big influence, but at the same, a lot of people were listening to that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? Because it doesn't sound anything like the kind of mod, the early mod sound of The Who and The Kinks and The Motown. Yeah. It's a pretty contemporary rock record, isn't it, Quadrophenia? Yeah. But yeah. As a 47-year-old guy, that film and soundtrack was a rite of passage for every teenage boy. Everyone obsessed over it.
Oh, completely. It was anyone that I met, that was it. It was the marker for what, how you looked at things, you know what I mean? How you were when you got up in the morning and when you went to bed at night, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you'd have mates just watching it every day. Just, you know. I mean, it's obviously now, I really don't care for those things that much. But on the landscape, that was pretty much the blanket of songs I've mentioned there were pretty much the soundtrack to school. Other than that, you had Simple Minds. What else? You know, just all of the 80s stuff that was, you know, in the background at the landscape, you know, Dire Straits, you know what I mean? U2's first album, obviously, et cetera, et cetera, you know. So
how was school? Did you enjoy it?
No, it was horrible. It was terrible. You had to learn how to survive, didn't you? You know, you either got beaten up or you didn't. And so, and you had to fit in. And I think, you know, some people fit in and some people didn't. Some people couldn't afford to fit in. Yeah. And other people got by with the skin of their teeth. And that's literally like it was, you know. If you got on with people and had a few friends, you were okay. But if you didn't and you were considered a bit of a weirdo, then it was hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And them years as well, them kind of mid-80s years was especially, you know, where I'm from, it was like the kind of time of like casuals and very expensive sportswear. And if you couldn't afford that, do you know what I mean? You would get left behind.
You would, that was a thing around ours. It was like Kickers, Ocean Pacific.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sort of flared jeans. Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Yeah, if you weren't in with that, if you didn't have a perm at the back of your head either, forget it, you know.
Yeah.
In Grantham, small towns never emulate youth culture trends that well, you know. They're always like 6-7 months behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, and anyone in you know, these small towns, in Grantham especially, thought they were the bee's knees. As soon as they left Grantham, they were completely devoured by the city's, you know, by the monstrosity of city culture, you know what I mean? So it was quite funny, really, you know.
What did you want to be at school?
What did I want to be? I wanted to be famous.
Why do you want to be famous?
Because, you know, things were so miserable, I think. It's just, it was so shit. It was such a grey time. You know, I got expelled from school 6 months before we were supposed to leave.
Why? What'd you do?
I pierced my mate's ear in the toilets. Believe it. And the thing is, the toilets were, they were fucking horrible. They had loads of dry gob on the ceiling.
Yep.
That looked like candle wax, you know.
Yep.
It was honestly, it was fucking, it looked like a chandelier of snot. And that was there for, they eventually cleaned it. But yeah, I remember doing it in there and it was just full of these bogies hanging down. And I got kicked out because we were basically considered to be hopeless anyway. So what was the point? But I went back to do my English GCSE at the time. I got a D, I think. But it was terrible. Yeah, it was shit. So I signed on and, hung around for a little bit, decided to go to college to do acting because I thought, right, I'm going to do that because that'll make me famous. And, in those days, you could just go in and sign an application form and get in.
Yeah.
And, but then I decided then to go to work. So I went to work in this factory instead for a year. And then I went to college, you know what I mean?
Was you a confident kid?
No, not really. I didn't really know what confidence was.
Yeah. Did you like attention? Was you a show-off?
A bit, yeah, of course I was. I think anyone is, isn't there, to a certain degree. But, yeah, I was, yeah. I'm not a show-off, but I liked a bit of attention.
Yeah.
And I think, I was just your average kid, I guess, but yeah, you know, it was different in them days, wasn't it? Like 30 or 40 years ago, 50 years ago? No, 40 years ago?
I try not to think of that, mate.
Shit, yeah.
Track 4, first record you remember buying from a record shop?
First record I bought from a record shop was Something Else by Sid Vicious. And it was the 7-inch of from the Great Rock and Roll Swindle.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if there was the Sex Pistols doing the music. I don't know. It might have been his solo band.
Yeah.
But that was the first one I bought, and it had Come On Everybody on the B-side.
That's right, yeah.
So, that was the first single I ever bought.
And that was another film, like Quadrophenia, for me and my pals. Like, Rock and Roll Swindle. Like, it was just one of them films, again, like Quadrophenia. And it was...
Yeah. A bit weird.
Yeah, it was. And I guess records like Frigging in the Rigging and things like that were just like naughty records at school. And it was
It made you laugh, didn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, God, you know.
Seeing Tudor Pole pushing a Hoover around singing Who Killed Bambi was like...
Yeah. That's it, I think, stuff like that really did you... Oh, you know, and horrible people like, Chubby Brown was big in our school. People would bring plates in of Chubby Brown.
Yeah.
Horrible. And just sit there in the classrooms and put them on.
Yeah.
That's the way it was, wasn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, as you got older, did record shops become, like, important places for you?
No, I lost interest in vinyl very quickly. When I went on the dole, I had to sell my records because I didn't have much money, really. And I went and sold all my jam collection, sold all the Pistols stuff I had and all the punk stuff. I sold it all, which I regret now. Mm. But I started buying again as soon as I got into Public Enemy and Beastie Boys and started buying Def Jam stuff, LL Cool J. I got back into it momentarily. But again, I lost interest, you know. you just can't take it with you, can you? It's like...
Yeah.
You got a big room full of vinyl. It's like, what are you going to fucking do with it?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to play it, but...
Yeah.
I just found it really an unnecessary possession, you know.
It's a weekly argument in my ass.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I've been a DJ for 30 years, so it's I've just got a bucket load that I don't really play that often, but I can't bring myself to get rid of it.
And
I'll still buy it. And my wife's argument is generally, ain't you got enough? And I'm like, well, it don't work like that.
No. exactly. This is it. A lot of my friends now have sold their vinyl collections.
Yeah.
But they've started buying new ones. You know, it's a bit like a tree, isn't it?
It really is.
And then the little twigs start growing again.
So you mentioned some hip-hop acts then. And
how
important was... You know, at the age that we are, Jason, hip hop certainly for where I was a massive thing when it happened. It felt probably the closest thing to sort of punk because I missed that.
Sure.
And just the thing of like we couldn't really get our hands on it because it was so American and it didn't sound like anything else. How was hip hop for you?
Just totally connected to it. Totally got it. I think at the time I was discovering James Brown and I had a best of. And obviously then Def Jam sort of emerged. Public Enemy, LL Cool J, sort of, who else was on? David D. Who else was I listening to? Eric B. and Rakim, obviously Run DMC, but they were on a different label, I think. Beastie Boys. I just totally connected with it because of what I was introduced to via James Brown with the beats and everything else. And there was a lot of that early sampling. And of course, chart music at the time was full of it. You know what I mean? The funky drummer sample was all over the place. So yeah, I mean, you just connected with it. You just got into it straight away. There was it spoke to that generation. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Track 5, the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing.
God, there's so many of them, isn't there? Bass Heads, is there anybody out there? I mean, I know it got a bit cheesy, but, you know, when that first came out, it was, because when it went into the charts, it got remixed, and I don't know this, because they had an Osmond sampler. Was it Crazy Horses or something?
It was, yeah.
And, you know, when that first came out on White Label, it was dirty. And, you know, when you're at clubs, oh, it's fucking unreal. When you were, you know, doing what you were doing, pilled up to a kid, you know, kid coming out of a small town, you know, it was incredible. You know, coming over to Nottingham to the Venus nightclub in Nottingham. And when that record came out, you know, that was just something, really was something. But a lot of people do it a lot better when you reminisce about club culture, because I lost interest very quickly. So, you know, people are pulling up stuff on Facebook, some of my mates' tunes and that you know, but you just don't know the names of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
You think, fuck, yeah. You know, some people didn't leave dance music, but I did. I got bored with it, you know what I mean?
Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is, the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing live.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since music and such. So, if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track Podcast, and you can listen to all the songs, because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. So did the kind of the sort of acid house and early house things that happened, you know, around the same time as hip hop, did that kind of sort of get your attention?
No, not until 1991 when I started clubbing. It got my attention then. But up until then, I was strictly Stone Roses, all of the other bands that come out around that time. Yeah. And then delving back into other old mod stuff and trying to learn the guitar and being really taken with that, you know. Yeah. When clubbing came around, it just knocked everything sideways, really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Track 6, a favourite song from an artist from your home county.
I've been trying to think of this, you know. Jeez, it's a tough one, isn't it? Gordon Bennett. I don't know, you know. Is there any? um I don't think there is any, is there? You know.
Well, it's a great time to plug the new album.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Let's go with the. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of hip hop stuff actually. There's a lot. I could go into that. You know, stuff by the P Brothers, Nottingham local duo. But I don't know. You know, I can't really think off my head. No, probably not. You know what I mean?
Okay. So you got a number one. Well, you had a number one album. You got a top 10 album. And it's made up of rarities.
Yeah.
Okay. Double album?
Double album. It's made up of unreleased stuff, stuff we released when we started, you know, 7-inch singles, but all limited stuff. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That you couldn't get on Spotify or anywhere. So people had to listen to it on YouTube, stuff like Job Seeker and Jolly Fucker. So we thought we, you know, stuff like that would be, you know, it'd be good to get stuff like that back on a record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also back on streaming services or whatever. But also we used it as an excuse as a kind of, you know, a sort of entry level thing for people that weren't aware of us. You know what I mean? We didn't want to do a greatest hits thing, a singles album. That's dry. You know, we ain't got any greatest hits for a start. And singles album's just boring. So we wanted to get something together that represented what we'd done so far with Seaford Mods. Do you know what I mean? That we thought represented as the best. And so we added in there some album tracks, some singles, and then obviously all the other stuff as well, you know.
Great stuff. Last track. So you get to play DJ now. A song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
I think it would have to be No by Billy No Mates. This artist called Billy No Mates. She's got a tune called No. It's brilliant, wicked, and she's got a load more stuff coming out. I'm really into what she's doing at the minute. It's a little bit like what we do, but it's a bit, it's obviously different. She's a great singer, you know what I mean? That would be something that I'd recommend for people to have a listen to.
Is that something that's available on like Spotify at the moment?
On Spotify, yeah, just search Billy No Mates, No, and it will come straight up. Brilliant, it's got a wicked bass line, you know what I mean, and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, she's a great singer, great songwriter. So yeah, have a listen.
Wonderful. Well, I'll put together a Spotify playlist to accompany every podcast, so we'll put on all the tunes that you've spoken about today.
Nice.
So what's happening with Sleaford Mods and yourself when this kind of craziness subsides and a normality of some sort resumes?
Fucking hell, go back to gigging, I think, hopefully. You know, we're booking tours at the minute and stuff, but let's just hope that we're allowed to do them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going in the studio in 2 weeks to do the album, new album. That should be with us next year, you know what I mean? So just keep going, you know.
Wicked.
See what happens, you know. Try and rinse it for everything it's got.
Jase, I will let you get back to your apron and your baking, mate. And and thanks so much for your time, mate. It's been lovely talking to you.
Take care, yeah?
Thanks,
ta-da,
buddy.
Ta-da.
There you go. What a chat. What a chap. What a chat and what a chap. Yeah, absolute pleasure to sit and talk music with Jason. Yeah, make sure you go and buy the new album. Links will be posted in the on the Acast homepage where you've probably pressed play for this podcast. And as also mentioned, make sure you follow them on social media just to see Jason's baking videos because they're something to behold. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'm back next week. If you can't wait until then, like I say, 150 or so episodes in the archives. Go and have a rummage around in there. And if you still want more, then there is a Patreon page where there's an episode each week as well. You can find out all about that at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Stay safe. See you next time. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast. And it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a lot of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. PodBibleMag.com.
It's Off the Beaten Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.